A very wealthy farmer knocked on the rectory door and with his brand new puppy and asked the priest to baptize his dog. And the priest says, "We don't baptize animals in the Catholic Church. But why don't you go down the street? There's a brand new denomination that just opened up, and who knows what they're up to. Perhaps they could help you out." So the wealthy farmer began walking out the door, but he stopped and says, "Father, I just out of curiosity, what would be the appropriate donation for something like that? Because I was planning on giving $50,000. And the priest says, "Come back here. He didn't tell me the dog was a Catholic." Today is a feast day of the baptism of the Lord. And it is, again, it's a very beautiful feast day. It's a shame we've had so much snow, so our numbers are down today, of course. But it is such a beautiful feast day. And notice that the last three Sundays, in each of the Masses, someone has acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God. At Christmas, it was the shepherds representing the chosen people, the Jewish people. They came and worshipped the Son of God in the manger. Last Sunday was the Epiphany, where the Magi, representing the Gentiles, came and adored the Son of God and placed their gifts before Him and acknowledged the divinity of Christ. And in today's Gospel, it's someone even better. It is the Heavenly Father Himself who says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God. And today is the conclusion of the Christmas season. So that's why we still have the Christmas decorations up, because today officially concludes the Christmas season, and tomorrow we enter back into ordinary time wearing the green vestments again. Now some have asked, well, why did Jesus get baptized? Why do we get baptized? And there are different reasons why Jesus was baptized versus why we are baptized. The reason why Christ was baptized was not to become holy, but to make the waters holy. Jesus was not sanctified by the waters. He sanctified the waters of the Jordan River. I've had the privilege of going twice to the Holy Land. We've been down to the Jordan River. We always renew people's baptismal vows at the Jordan River. In fact, just a couple days ago, I was teaching the CCD class, the second grader religious ed class. They were sitting right here. And I asked, what was the name of the river that Jesus was baptized in? And none of the kids knew. I said, well, let me give you a hint. It's the name of a famous basketball player. And one kid says, "I know." I said, "Who is it?" He said, "The Michael Jordan River." I said, "Well, I'll give you credit for that." So Jesus went to the Jordan River, and in fact, he says to John in today's gospel, even though John objected, Jesus says, "We must do this to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, to do the will of the Heavenly Father. It was God the Father's will that Jesus submit to baptism to show humility and to give us an example. Even though Christ did not need to be baptized, He did it to give us an example that we should also submit to holy baptism. He also did it to show His approval for the mission and work of John the Baptist, His cousin, to give the stamp of approval for what John was doing out at the Jordan River. And remember that what John was doing was not the sacrament of baptism. That would not be established until later when Christ would tell the apostles, "Go out and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Jesus would establish a sacrament of baptism. But what John was doing was a precursor, a foreshadowing of the sacrament. What he was doing was called a baptism of repentance. People would go to the Jordan River, confess their sins out loud, and be baptized and have this washing to show a beginning of a new way of life, to repent of sin and to live a better way of life. Christ, again, had no sin. But what he did was he took the sins of the whole human race upon himself, as some of the prayers say, that Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world. And baptism is a symbol of dying and rising. Some of the fathers of the church call baptism a liquid tomb in which people die to sin and rise to new life. The word baptizein in Greek means to be submerged, to be immersed. And so when we're baptized, either the pouring of water or submersion, it's a dying and a rising. And It is, again, not because Jesus had any sin. He took the sins of himself into the waters, and he arose to redeem the world. And then Jesus, after he came up out of the water, had the Blessed Trinity manifested, because the heavens opened, it says, and God the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then he sent the Holy Spirit upon Christ in what looked like to be a form of a dove. And when that rested upon Christ, you had a manifestation of the Trinity. Jesus is God the Son. The Father spoke, and he sent God the Holy Spirit upon him. And this is where Christ was anointed as the Messiah, as we'll hear in today's preface in the Mass. It says that this is when Christ was anointed. The word Christian means the anointed one. So Jesus is the Messiah. And this is when he would begin his public ministry, after he was anointed by the Holy Spirit at the Jordan River. And then the Lord would go forth from there to heal and preach and redeem the world by dying and rising from the dead. So that's why Christ was baptized. Why are we baptized? Let me just conclude by giving some reasons why we get baptized. Number one, because we want to have original sin washed away. When every one of us is born into this world, we're born into the world in the state of original sin that we inherit from our first parents, Adam and Eve. So we're born without sanctifying grace within our soul. We're born without the divine life within our soul. So when we're baptized, or when a baby's baptized, original sin is washed away. So we're set free from the power of Satan under the dominion of Adam. And then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son within our soul, which we call sanctifying grace. We're filled with the very divine life of God, fills our soul, making us temples of God, dwelling places of the Blessed Trinity. We become living tabernacles, living temples of God, dwelling places of Almighty God. So original sin is washed away. Now when an adult is baptized, not only is original sin washed away, but any sin they ever committed during their lifetime. I've had the privilege of working in nursing homes and baptizing people in their 80s or 90s. And what a beautiful thing that is. When I baptize them, if they had never been baptized, then any sin they ever committed in their entire life was washed away. That's why some people in the early church, like Constantine, he didn't want to get baptized too early. He wanted to wait till he was about to die. But the only problem with that, you could get run over by a chariot or something like that. So that is dangerous to put off baptism, but that is the reason why some of the people, like Constantine, put off baptism until towards the end, so that all their sins would be washed away in baptism. Well, of course, we have confession, so any sins committed after baptism can be absolved and washed away in the sacrament of confession. So baptism forgives original sin and any personal sins that a person may have committed. It makes us children of God. Christ is the true Son of God. We become adopted sons and daughters of God. That's what happens when we're baptized. We get incorporated into Christ, into the church, into the family of God, part of his mystical body. We then become Christians once we're baptized, and members of Christ and his church, which will enable us to receive other sacraments later on, like communion and confirmation. So that is why we are baptized. And when we're baptized, the greatest gift, of course, is receiving the divine life in our souls and being made adopted sons and daughters of God. And when each one of us was baptized, the heavens were opened for each one of us. And God the Father said to each one of us, "You are now my beloved son. You are now my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased."